Hello, everyone. Welcome to Q&A with me. We are going to try to stick to talking about mainly the fuel in the body modules of No BS, which is the thing that you are working on this week. So if you're in the tribe, the way we like to do things is every week we take you through a lesson. And so we point you in the direction of, like, we're doing No BS right now. And all the calls, all the chatter, the things that we're going to, like, if we're going to do Facebook posts, if I'm going to coach, if I'm going to do Q&A, we're just tailoring it around one specific topic so that we're all kind of just, you know, experiencing the same thing together. If for some reason you're not doing the No BS, or maybe you are like, I'm still on week one, week two is not for me, you can always listen to these. There is no way in hell that you're going to, like, be like, well, you know, because I'm only on module one, there's no way in fucking hell I could learn anything out of module two. That's not true. I'm just going to tell you everything that we talk about, no matter where you're at and what you're studying in PNP, will always apply to you somehow if you're listening for how it applies versus thinking I'm behind. When we think we're behind, or we think we don't know what we're doing and stuff, guys, you miss out. You're so self-focused that you're not hearing all the external messages trying to guide you onto where to go towards your dreams. So always be on the look for when you're doing that. So today, what I would like to do is keep the questions focused more on the Fuel in Your Body module. You will ask using hashtag ask. Mary Jo will give it to me over here inside of our channels where I can read them and make it a lot faster for everyone. And then upcoming this week, just while we're all getting in here, is, let me put my calendar up. Tonight, if you're in the Queen's Club, we have a call at 4 p.m. It will be all things maintenance. So it'll be all the questions that you have about maintenance and such. I'll be using that call to start thinking about all the things that that we're going to include in a new maintenance course that we're going to be creating for all the people who go through Queen's Club and so on, which you guys have been asking for like freaking ever. And I'm very happy to be delivering it. It will be a couple months before I get it built out. I want to do it right. So it's not just going to be like, we're going to have a call tomorrow, then next week you're going to have a maintenance program. No, we're going to do it right. So this is like my research. Best research I ever do is the research I do on you guys. Tomorrow you will get a weekend motivator video from me. So that's just a pre-record. You'll see it come out. Oh shit, I've got to quit. Sorry. I've had my boobs done and I have to quit like pushing up. So every time I do, oh my God, it is a quick reminder not to do that anymore. I'm not supposed to be doing things like that anyway. So tomorrow you'll be getting a pre-record from me. And that is just on Fridays. I send a motivator weekend video that is about a topic that I've been watching in the tribe. I record something and then we upload it to Video Replays, Private Member Podcast, and we put it into the Facebook so you guys can watch it. If at any time, guys, as members in the Facebook group, if you guys ever want to do like these Q&As that we do here or my weekend motivators and do a watch party and watch it with other members at the same time where you guys can chat live time, if you want to get your accountability groups together and y'all come into Facebook and one of you start a watch party, you guys can do that so that you can have some active discussion over the things that I'm discussing. I don't see y'all doing very many watch parties, but I wanted to throw that out there to you because it's a good way to watch content and be able to actively discuss it. And you never know when me or one of the coaches will pop in and you guys are doing a watch party. Trust me, if you're doing one, I'm probably going to join it. And if I'm online and be like, ah, because I love like doing the watch parties where I can listen to what I'm teaching and then I can even add commentary. So those are always really cool. All right. And then on Saturday, you have on the 21st, office hours with Coach Betsy at 12 p.m. Just as a reminder, office hours, no appointment necessary. You just show up and blow up. You can come on there and ask a question. You can raise your hand and get coached. Coach Betsy's on there for 2 hours and she just rapid fire goes through as many people as she possibly can. And then on Sunday is noon coaching with me. That's with appointment. So people have already messaged in saying they would like to get coached. But if you want to come and you want to watch me coach people and learn and do all the things, you're more welcome to. Just don't forget, guys, like we have over 7,000 members. The average coaching call, there's about 100 to 200 of you that show up. That's the power of the replay. That is the power of the Private Member Podcast. So many of you have like actively decided, I don't need to be there live. I just need to be fucking alive when I'm listening. That's the thing. The power is not in being there when I'm doing it live. You can get just as much inspiration and just as much stuff. Even when I'm live, guys, like of those people, 20 people will ask a question. So it's not the fact, it's not if you're coming live. It's are you present when you're taking it in? That is way more important. So if you've got, like, this morning, I had things to do and whatnot, and I like to listen to my mentors. Sorry, I'm going to be grabbing my boobs a lot because they're sore. I'm off the pain pills now. I just decided no more pain pills. I don't like them. And so I wanted to listen to my mentor's podcast this morning, and I listened in 5-minute chunks because I noticed after 5 minutes I wasn't paying attention. So if I'm not paying attention, I stop it. I do whatever it is I want to do. I regroup. And if I have another 5-minute spot, I've been trying to get through it all morning long, but I've listened in 5-minute increments, and it's so helpful. It's like, I want you guys to think about, it's not so much, you know, like, well, Corinne's calls are like an hour and a half. I don't have 90 minutes. Nobody fucking has 90 minutes. I barely have 90 minutes to do these long things. Here's what we do have, though. We have a lot of time in our day that we sit around thinking we're so busy. I do the math all the time. I want all of you to do this. The moment that you say you're busy, I want you to do the math of how busy you are. I want you to think about how many hours in a day you work. Multiply that out. How many hours are you legit spending at work? Most of us, like, let's say you're a diehard. Like my husband, okay? He probably works PNP 10 to 12 hours every single day of the week. All right, so if you've got Chris, let's just say 10 hours every single day, 7 days a week, he's putting in 70. And then he's sleeping another 8, which is 8 times 7 is 56. 70 plus 56 is 100 and what, 26 hours? And I believe that there's 168 hours in a week or something like that. Just shows you how much time you actually still have left in the day. Where you're eating, driving, showering, brushing teeth, putting on makeup, waiting in line someplace. There is not ever a moment where earbuds aren't within my reach. I have them in my purse. I have them in my laptop bag. I have them on my desk. I have always got earbuds laying around somewhere, or just, you know, the corded kind. So that if I have, like if I'm at the store and I notice the line is long, guess what I do? Slap in the earbuds. I'm not sitting there mindlessly scrolling Facebook and bitching to my friend in text that the line at Kroger is so long. I don't do that stuff. I'm always optimizing time. I don't think about being busy. Do you know how I self-describe? I'm not busy. I'm someone who optimizes their time. Most of you are going to be sitting there, oh, but I'm so busy. Like, you feel like fucking bullshit when you say that. So why do you keep hanging on to that story? Unless you only sleep 4 hours a day and you work the rest of the time, don't describe yourself as busy. Describe yourself as someone who's optimizing their time. And that's the way my husband has always described himself. And I just stole it from him. Like, that sounds so good. It just sounds so good to be someone who's sitting there and optimizing all of their time. I'm always looking for moments that I can self-develop, moments where I can pay more attention. One of the concepts that I love to teach you guys is before you go looking for more time and thinking you need more time, make sure you're capitalizing on every ounce of time you have now. So many of you will be driving your kids to and from sports, and you'll bitch and moan because you have a job also that you don't get enough time to spend with your kids. But when you're driving your kids, you're thinking about all the shit you need to do at work. You're thinking about the laundry. You're thinking about how much sex you haven't had. You're thinking about how you wish you didn't have to do this drive. Guess what? You don't need more time with your kids. You need to learn how to be in the moments. You're looking for the wrong thing. So I highly recommend you guys spend some time when you're in the early days here at PNP and you catch yourself, like we are the girls in this tribe, I have been conditioning them for years to stop thinking about being a victim of time and being someone who's optimizing their time. Time doesn't do anything to us, but our brains certainly will if you let it just run on autopilot. All right, if you have, that will be next week's thing, optimizing time. Lillian, how about it just starts right now? Let's not wait till next week. Just be like, clock starts now. I'm optimizing my time like a boss. Just do it. All right. I'll give you, guys, if you have any questions, now's the time to ask. We're talking about all things fuel in your body. Protocols, good, better, best, food prep, all the things. We'd just like to show everyone how hard this call is. There is a beautiful Kodiak pancake laying here next to me. I've not been able to have breakfast yet. I've been on the antibiotics since my boob surgery. They have been killing my appetite. Today, though, I actually started getting hungry at 5 minutes until the call started. I was like, well, that's fucking great. And then I have a call right after this. So I went ahead and made the Kodiak pancake. I've laid the Kodiak pancake here. It also has my delicious glass of cashew milk next to it. It is just like a siren in the night calling Corinne's name. So that will be my breakfast when I get done. But the boob surgery's gone well. I look more fabulous than I feel today. I went off pain meds as of yesterday. I'm not going to the bathroom very much at all, honestly. I'm swigging down Colace, Miralax, magnesium, back on my probiotics, some kombucha, all the things. I feel sure that it will start back up tomorrow. I've already started, and I've had surgeries several times, guys, so I get the drill. I started all this the day before and kind of carried on through. I know that once I come off pain pills that my colon starts waking up. Today, I started having the gas this morning, so I know things are starting to work down there. So I'm just waiting for that to happen. I will be in the world's ugliest bra for a month. So I will be having to probably get some new clothes for camp because y'all know me, everything is like a halter top. This is not going to cut it for the majority of my wardrobe. It's also, I need something that's not so, you can see this bra through here. It's got like a nice, I'll just show you guys. Let me just show you all the sexy of this bra. Now, you can also see the nips. Sorry about that. I didn't realize it was so see-through, but yeah, that's how gorgeous this bra is. It's also itchy as fuck. So there you go. My scar lines are doing good. Everything's going well. They're smaller, but as Chris said, he was like, oh, they're smaller, but they're not too small. He was all worried that I was going like away or something. I was like, no, we just went down to a nice D. So, you know, going from the triple D to a D. And then they're, you know, they look kind of goofy right now. As if you ever have breast surgery, they always will look goofy the first couple weeks at least. One is still kind of sitting way up here. This one's kind of dropping. So they're always like off kilter. They're misshapen. They don't look, you know, nice and round. They kind of take a life of their own. So for about a week or two, they just look hideous and feel hideous. And then they start calming down. Because I didn't go under the muscle, they're just getting put into where I didn't have to cut my muscle or anything because I'd already had them. I will be walking for 2 weeks. I'm free to go ahead and start walking now. Cardio starts in 2 weeks. I can start trying to run with a good supportive bra or do my Peloton. I'm probably not going to do much exercising outside of just walking, though, for a month just because I've got a lot of travel. Camp starts in October, and then the following week I'm going to be in Miami. And then the following week, I'm going to be in San Diego at another event. And, you know, I'm just not going to have access to a lot of stuff, but I can always walk. So I'm just kind of sticking with that and wait to start in a month. So that's everything. Just eating based upon what I feel like eating. A lot of Weight Watcher pizzas are going down. A lot of carbs are going down. I really believe when you're healing, you eat to what sounds good. If your body's craving carbs, you kind of just go into that direction. I'm just not eating a bunch of junk because, you know, my colon doesn't need a bunch of junk. All right. I'm having the most trouble with water and sleep, trying to do my 1% level ups. Which one should I try harder to tackle first? Glad you're feeling better. Honestly, if it was me, I would probably do the water as because it's going to be the easiest one to tackle. Sleep, sometimes there's like circumstances, like if you have a newborn or you have like a job where you work 12s, or maybe your graveyard shift, sometimes getting that dialed in is going to take more of your creative energy juices and stuff. Water, not so much. Water is just one of those things, you just got to get going on it. And you got to quit bitching about it. And you have to quit like letting your brain go to all kinds of doo-doo and all that kind of stuff. So just make sure you have it with you at all times. If you need to set a timer on your watch to go off, or your phone to go off every hour to remind you to drink 8 ounces, do that. But just, I would just start with the water. Your body needs water. And you might see that getting hydrated will also help with the sleep some. Just because, you know, I'm going to tell you, guys, the reason why water and sleep are included in the four basics is because they're so powerful when it comes to losing weight. They just make all the difference. Water is what flushes out the fat that you're burning off, and that you are, you know, when you're eating a little less and stuff, that's what's kind of keeping things going. Water also keeps you from craving carbs and energy foods, because water is such an energy source for the body. And then with the sleep, that is just where so much of the repair work is happening. When you're sleeping, it is like exercising, literally. That's why, like, I just start getting almost panicky. If I have days, I can watch the scale creep up when, like, I do events and stuff, because typically I'm getting less sleep than I normally would. And I almost always come home like 2 to 3 pounds up. And that's just where your body has not been able to do all of its processes. And when it can't do its processes, it starts holding on to water. It starts trying like to manipulate keeping you strong, keeping you energized, keeping you all the things. And when I go to events, I barely even eat, and yet I will gain weight. So it just shows you how important it is to do all that. Guys, I don't know if I'm having a meetup in Miami. I'm going to try to get one. That is a really weird event that I'm going to. I'm being photographed. I'm having a mastermind, and I'm also having a weekend with my mom. So I'm going to try to get one while I'm down there. I just have to figure out when it's going to be. I had promised my mom that we would spend some girl time together, and I don't know if she's going to be okay with me having a meetup. But once I'm done with my mom's stuff, I immediately go into this mastermind stuff where I'm just going to really have time to check in here, but they're really long days and photography sessions, all kinds of stuff. I will try to get one for Miami though, because I rarely get down that far into the country. Things like bread baskets, if I don't want on my regular protocol, do I put on my exception list? I guess I should have an exemption list or just include in my regular protocol. It depends on if you're going to eat the bread baskets. Like, it only goes on your protocol if that's going to be something you regularly plan. I want you guys to think about, protocol are all the foods I would like to regularly plan. Exceptions are the ones I would like to irregularly plan. That's kind of how I see it, as like a just basic rule. So like, I'm not going to regularly plan potato chip nachos from Burger Republic, but I am going to have that as an exception. Now, I might regularly want to plan to have wine. I might be the kind of person who wants to have wine 2 to 3 nights a week, 1 to 2 glasses, something like that. That might go on my regular protocol. To me, that's not an exception. Now, I would move it off my protocol if I noticed drinking wine 2 to 3 nights a week slowed down my weight loss. Like, it's what I want and what, but I don't know if it's worth having that many nights. Maybe it's more worth having 1 night a week as an exception, or maybe 2, and I'll just treat it as an exception. So it's just like, I like to think about like bread baskets. Is that something that you're always going to want to plan? Or is that more like, you know, I'm only going to have bread at a restaurant when it's like certain restaurants who serve really good bread. If it's just a restaurant with bread that I don't really care for, I don't want to necessarily put it on my protocol as like, well, because here's what your brain does. If it's on your protocol and it's just like bread baskets at the restaurants, you'll go to a restaurant and the bread will suck, and your brain will be like, yeah, but it's on your protocol, it's okay. Without even considering, I really just wanted good bread. I didn't want just any bread. So I like to think about, when you're creating your protocols and stuff, guys, it's not so much about like, well, these will be the only foods now I can have. It's more about like getting your brain trained to think about food in a way that like serves you, in a way that gets you excited, in a way that's like, and I can have all of this. These are the things I picked. No one's telling me I have to do any of this. That's the nice thing about PNP. No one's telling you how you have to eat anymore. We're helping you learn how to best eat, to feel good, lose weight, you know, live a long, healthy life and like meet all of your compelling reasons. I heard on one of the videos that we should try to get through the nighttime hunger pains to retrain our bodies, not to want to expect any food after dinner. The next morning, I wake up at -5, but yet I don't want to eat at 5:30. In these beginning weeks, should I focus more on retraining or eating 2 to 2? It just depends. Like, if you're eating at night and you're not at your -2, then you need to, like, you need to cut that out. Like, we want to, that's where we want to, like, practice getting our body to quit accepting food. Like, quit expecting there to be food. If you're waking up at a -5, that's probably only going to last 2 to 3 days. It's not going to last weeks and weeks and weeks. It won't be your new normal. And if you get up at 5:30 in the morning, drink 18 ounces of water. First thing, like just down some water. Because most of the time, if you've been used to giving your food at night, giving yourself food at night, guess what your body did? It was waiting all night long for the food and it burned fat. But in the morning, it was hungrier than usual because it was used to not having to tap into your fat stores. It will level out. Like when I first started waiting until I got hungry, it used to only be like 9 o'clock. And then as I like had a few days, it's like, well, I'm going to wait until like 10 or 11 o'clock to eat breakfast this morning when I was, you know, like playing around with all my windows. It took a little bit and then I just got used to it. And then my body wouldn't get hungry. Just like this morning, you know, it's like 9:22. You know, it was literally at 5 till 9 and I've been up since 5. And I didn't eat hardly anything yesterday because I was just like not feeling it. You know, then I just started to get hungry. And even just sitting here right now, because I drank a little bit of water before I started, like all of my hunger signals, they have subsided again. So it's just, you know, playing with it. Don't think because you're waking up at a -5 that that's the new normal. It's probably just for now, the next couple of days, what it's going to do because it was expecting to get fed before bed. How will this impact your 5K goal? I got till next August. It ain't going to impact it at all. I mean, I'm not running right now, but I had already done a really good lot of the work. So I'm sure that we'll just start. I'm pretty sure what will happen is when I start running again, that it'll just start back with like, let's just see where we're at. But you're like the way that I've always like experienced it. I've had worse surgeries than this, y'all. This is a walk in the park. I've had surgeries where I couldn't work out for 8 to 10 weeks, period. Like, I couldn't lift a weight. I wasn't supposed to walk for 4 weeks, all the things. And so it's nothing. Usually within a week, maybe two, I'm right back to where I left off. Muscle, your body, it has incredible memory. So whatever you've been doing, it just remembers it. It doesn't just lose everything all overnight because you go a few weeks without it. It takes like 3 weeks of not lifting weight before your body even starts barely thinking about losing muscle. And that's if you're like acting like an asshat and doing nothing. You know, if you're still walking and stuff, it'll be fine. So it's not going to impact it at all. I gave myself until I had a year. It's on my boom list. So I had a year to get it done, which is August of next year. I'm sure I'll hit it before then, though. I feel like I should be on a time frame. How do you know when you're ready for leveling up, etc.? Well, the reason why you're confused about when it's time to level up is because you keep thinking you should be on a time frame rather than thinking, I'm going to level up and see what happens. Leveling up is an experiment. It's not a time frame. You just have thoughts about it. That's it. I mean, I want you to think about this. I never had a time frame. Why should you have one? Worked for me, worked for most people to not have one. If you want one, you know what you do? You create a time frame. Every 10 days, I'm going to do this. Every 7 days, I'm going to do this. If you want a time frame and you think it's helpful, all you got to do is create you a time frame. Corinne creating one is not going to be helpful. You know why? Some of you will not need to level up, but once a month. Some of you will need to level up every 3 days. Some of you, it will be every 2 weeks. Some of you, it'll be every 3 months. Your level ups are your choice. Your level ups have to come from you believing in yourself enough to know that you're going to try things and it either will work or it won't. And if it won't, you'll go back to what you were doing. No harm, no foul. If it works, awesome. This is the new standard. That's it. Or awesome, it works for now. And if I need to go back, I always can. It's that ease and mindset. Guys, don't sit around trying to figure out how to complicate things. If you like, I just want you to think about this. When you ask, I should have a time frame, you know what that's telling me? You still think someone should be creating your diet, that you can't do it. You haven't started doing the hard emotional lifting yet of believing that this is the time I'm figuring it out. It's like, Corinne's going to figure it out and help me. No, it's I'm going to figure it out by listening to all the ideas, by thinking about the things I'm asking for. And if I'm asking for a time frame from someone else, why am I not asking it of myself? If I think that that would really benefit me, why have I not just already created it? Why did I think someone outside of me would know more than me? Those are just some things for you guys to think about. Like, I'm here to give you guidance and structure. And I'm going to tell you the most important thing about being in PNP that you cannot get in the groupies and you cannot get through the podcast. We point out where your thinking is actually stopping you. That I can't do anywhere else but in here. I can teach you techniques, but in here is where we learn where the thinking meets the road. What thinking is going to get us there? What thinking is keeping us there from getting there? What thinking, like, and so much of our thinking feels so innocent. Like, this is, like, a lot of you get afraid of the thought work thinking, well, I'm going to have to uncover that time someone abused me at 3. That must be why I'm overweight. No. Do you know why so many of us, what the thoughts you need to uncover are? Little bitty ones like, Corinne, could you just give me a time frame? That right there signals that you haven't adopted the belief yet that you're figuring it out. Because you're still asking someone else to figure it out for you. And it's like, let's work on you just believing in you. That there's going to never be a right or wrong in any of this. There's going to be overeats and they won't be right or wrong. There's going to be time frames and it's not going to be right or wrong. You'll either be ready for a level up or you won't. That is the difference, guys. So when you guys are thinking about what is the difference between being in here and there, it's not just because you have the Private Member Podcast, and it's not just because, like, you know, there's live trainings and stuff. It's because we are helping you figure out those little things that stop you, that slow you down. I want you to lose weight as fast as you possibly can. Most diets, what they're trying to do is teach you how to lose weight as fast as you can by doing tricks and gimmicks and bullshit that you're never going to be able to keep up with. I want you to lose your weight as fast as you can because the little things that have tripped you up all these years, we're getting them out of the way. And that just allows you to stay more consistent, show up more often, make changes faster, make mistakes faster, get back up from them faster. That's how weight loss gets sped up. Coming home to Nashville this weekend for my granddaughter's birthday party, 24-hour plan made, vacation protocol in place, and water bottle packed and carried. Anything I'm missing? Not that I can think of. It sounds really good to me. You've got a vacation protocol. I think you got everything. The only thing that I would do if I was you, Helen, is I would think about going to the party and what you want to experience. And I will tell you what you probably don't want to experience. I don't think you want to remember your granddaughter's birthday, you being worried about food. I want you to experience going in and cherishing her and loving her and enjoying this time and all of that stuff. Like, get your brain trained on what you're really wanting to experience, not just prepared for food. Like, let some of the other stuff that's really important have some air to breathe. I'm not understanding the 4 circles. My goal is 160. 4-month circle, 14 and a half. 1 month is 4.8. What goes in the last circle? Everything that you're going to do today to make sure that you lose 4.8 pounds this month. That is, so the 4 circles, what happens is, and I don't care if you write the 4 basics down in every single day. It should be exactly what you're going to be doing that day. So it's like, I'm going to be drinking my water. I'm going to be listening for this specific excuse that I've been using. I'm going to whatever it is. That goes in the 4th circle. Because what happens is that when you have like a year-long goal or month-long goal, it's so easy to be like, well, I'm just going to have a little extra because You know, it won't matter that much. My weigh-in is not until next Friday. I can make it up. Your fourth circle, if that's you, your fourth circle should have, like, that excuse is no longer good enough. Like, I'm going to listen for that excuse today. Like, the fourth circle is about making sure you understand what you need to do today that definitely impacts your week-long goal, your month-long goal, and your year-long goal. We have a whole lesson about it inside of PNP Tribe. That is the future self module, which is coming next week. So if you've been using the planner, don't worry. We're going to go over the four circles next week. It will all make more sense next week. And I'll be talking about it on our calls and stuff. I know there are tons of podcasts on this. I've listened. But can you touch on weekend planning? I'm sure the newbies will appreciate it also. Yeah, like, plan the weekend. Like, guys, don't make it any harder than it is. In fact, I think last weekend's motivator was about weekend planning. I'm not 100% sure, but I've got several. And it all boils down to this one thing. What are you going to eat this weekend, realistically? Your weekend plan is not different than your weekly in terms of thought process. You guys think the weekends are different. They're two fucking days. They're 2 days you make a 24-hour plan. They're supposed to be realistic. If you realistically go face down every Saturday, then you haven't made a realistic plan yet on a Saturday. You have to do the same things that you do during the week. But if you're sitting around thinking, yeah, but during the week I have a routine and blah, blah, blah. Okay, then that's working. So now you need to do the same thing on the weekend. You need to have a routine of you making a plan that works for your routine on the weekend. If your routine on the weekend is spontaneous parties, going with the flow and stuff, don't act like that's not a routine. That's your habit to say yes to parties. It's your habit to go along with what everybody else is doing. It's your habit to do travel ball. It's your habit to eat at restaurants where you don't know what the food's going to be. So you can either sit around and think that that's hard, or you can overcome your obstacles and work on it. So you make a 24-hour plan that addresses the very things that you go through on the weekends. If every Friday your husband is like, hey, I'm not telling you where we're going, but every Friday night it has to be a fucking party in our mouth and we're going to this restaurant and I don't hear no bullshit and I'm not going to tell you what you're going to have on your plan and you're just going to roll with my punches and we're going to have a good fucking time. Okay, then that's your routine. So you can sit there and be like, oh, I'm never going to be able to lose weight. I don't know how to make my 24-hour plan. You can be like a victim. Or you can just be like, every Friday night, I don't know where I'm going. But here's the one thing I know, that when we go, we typically go to restaurants that have bread, appetizers, booze, and all the things. So when I go, here are the things I will and will not have. That's it. Take the drama level down about weekends, y'all. The only reason why some of you are great at going through the weekends and why some of you end up eating your face off through the weekend is because you use excuses to eat your face off. Like, your husband wanting to take you out on date night, that's a terrible excuse to overeat. I just want you to think about that. Oh my God, I've been sitting here thinking that my husband and him wanting to have date night, well, that's why I'm overweight. That is not why you're overweight. It's because when you go, you're not willing to sit there and enjoy him. You're making it about the food. Or you're going and being resentful and then fuck it eating and then making it about the food. If you didn't go in with a bunch of resentment and judgment and anxiety and stress, guess what? You wouldn't need to fuck it. The only time that we ever do fuck it eating is when we have ginned up so much anxiety within ourselves or so much bullshit within ourselves that we need to turn ourselves off. Guess what? We're the one doing the ginning. We're the one hand cranking the anxiety. We don't have to eat. We have to stop cranking. That's it. Since I started exercising, I feel tired a lot. I exercise in the morning before work. I usually feel better after eating something, but I exercise at 5 and I'm usually not hungry till 10. So I'm tired until then. Is being tired a hunger sign, or am I misreading this? It could be a hunger sign. Should I eat earlier to help energize myself? Or is this a sleep issue that I'm not addressing? The only way I would know if it's a sleep issue is I'd have to know how much hours of sleep you're getting. If you're getting 7, it's probably not a sleep issue. You could try just eating something small after you work out and see if that gives you more energy for the rest of the day. I would not make it super fun. I wouldn't make it like, you know, a big, you know, country boy breakfast or anything, but I would just eat something. Just try it. The best thing I could tell you to do is if you're noticing, that was kind of what I was noticing, is I got up at 5, I would drink my coffee. I do it like, you know, my workouts sometimes are 60 to 90 minutes long, maybe a little bit longer. By the time I shower, do a call and everything, it was like hitting 11 or 12 o'clock before I would eat, and then I would just tank at 2 or 3. And I just realized I probably needed to start eating in the mornings, even if I wasn't hungry yet. So I just started with some food after big workouts. And so I just experimented with it to see what would happen. And I, lo and behold, I started noticing I didn't need like to pass out at my desk every day at 2 o'clock anymore. So that was just an experiment that I did. Now I have days where there's sometimes I'm just not hungry and I do work out some and I'm just like, you know what? I don't even want it. If I really don't want it, I know that I may or may not be tired later. I just watch all of it, but I don't make any of it mean something's going wrong. I just like to watch patterns and then auto adjust and correct and just kind of see what I can, you know, figure out. And then as I like start seeing things working, I just keep doing those things. As I see things not improving or whatever, I just stop doing those things. I just don't overthink it. Like, my hopes and dreams will never come true. Like, this is slowing me down. If it, something doesn't work, I never think it slows me down. If something doesn't work or I do an overeat or whatever, I just refuse to believe that's not a slowdown. I always think like, oh, okay, so this is going to help me figure it out. I just think different. Now, I will say that was conditioned. Like, I had to like program myself to do that, guys. This is not something that I just was like, oh, this is the reason why I was able to lose 100 pounds. I just naturally thought this way. No, I thought like all of you guys. I never thought this way. But I've just had to, and I have to remind myself that this is how we are going to think about it. I've just realized over time how ineffective that thinking is. So when I realized how ineffective it was, it really made it possible for me not to like need to judge it anymore. Like, it gets to come in, it gets to like do its thing, but I change gears. Like, I don't think of it as a flaw that I think the old way. I just think about like, thank God I know how to think a new way. Thank God I know how to take my brain in the new direction. I don't worry about whatever comes up in my head. Like, if I start self-judging, I don't worry about the self-judgment, which is what most of you do. I just notice I'm self-judging and be like, oh yeah, we don't have to do that anymore. Redirect. Doing well in the 24-hour plan during the day. Wondering what your best tips for cutting through the bullshit of late night snacking. Yet not beat myself up over it or feel like I'm screwing up. Working on leaving that all. Okay, I just kind of covered like when you do those late night snacks and stuff. The very first thing you have to do is you got to shut down like this is a screw up and stuff and just be like, and this is going to help me figure this out. Like, you really got to drop into that space, just like I was just talking about. The other thing is the late night snacking. You need to figure out why you're doing it. So the first thing is to just ask yourself, why am I eating late at night? And be like, this is again, don't be judgmental of it. Like, well, it's because I got just years and years of womp womp and I'm so terrible. Like, none of that stuff. I just want you to be like, if I was going to ask you, what do you think I would want to know? Well, it's because I think these things. It's because, like, I've always done it. Like, I want you to come up with those things and I want you to just notice what you think about it first, okay? Then a really good exercise is once you notice what you're currently thinking, I just want you to look at it and really understand that that's what you think at night. Because what will happen is the more you list all of those reasons, well, because I just want it. It tastes good. Like, if I eat a sleeve of Oreos, of course I love it. I mean, like, those are the things that you need to get out on paper. It's really important. Most of you think that I just want it isn't the real reason. Yeah, no. 99% of you are eating bullshit because you just want it. Every time I eat something, I'm going to tell you, the main reason I'm having it is because I just want it. It looks good. It tastes good. I'm going to tell you, every time I've been face down in potato chip nachos at Burger Republic and I didn't have it planned, it wasn't because of some dark reason. It wasn't because I was sitting around in total FOMO with the rest of the bar. You know what it was? I could literally taste how good those fuckers were going to taste in my mouth and just been like, it'll be all right. I am sure we can, like, eat less tomorrow. Like, my brain goes to all the reasons why this is an amazing idea right now.
Of course.
But you want to know those things. Those are the most important thoughts to know, because those are the thoughts that are the red flags that you're fixing to take action. You're fixing to do it. You want to know those more than anything in the beginning. If there's a deeper reason, we get to that later. You usually get to the deeper reasons once you remove the food. That's when the next level comes up. But right now, we just want to know, like, what is that bullshit we tell ourselves every single time we want to eat a sleeve of Oreos at 9 o'clock at night when we've had a good day? The more you know it, the louder that voice gets. It's no longer running quietly in the background. It'll scream at you, hey, I think Oreos sound like such a good idea. We've had a great day. We've been good. Like, it'll be, like, loud. You'll be like, that's all that shit that I wrote down. I must be wanting to go get Oreos. Right now, what most of us do is we sit there and think that stuff, and we go get the Oreos, and we're like, yeah, I was just like, you know, I was face down in them before I knew it. Like, we want to get to the point to where going and getting them is a very conscious experience where you are actively deciding. And here's the next step. So you get to where you know that really well. For a lot of you, that will cut overeats in half, because you'll actually hear the stuff you talk about, and it'll turn your conscious brain on to be able to be like, let's just see what happens if one night we don't eat the Oreos. Or let's just see what happens if we just sit with it for 15 minutes. Change the game up. Then the next phase is you write about, you know what? After you do this for a little bit, if you're still eating them, is you ask yourself, what is it going to be like if I don't have them? And then write that description out. Like, I want you to put, like, close your eyes, and I want you to take yourself to the moment to where you start thinking about Oreos, and you want the Oreos, and you're on the couch, and I literally want you to sit there, and I want you to just visualize it and feel it in your body for a little bit of what that experience will be like as it is now. And then I want you to write about it. I felt this way in my body. I was thinking these things. It was really hard for me. I just wish all this stuff wouldn't happen. Like, a really honest, like, description of what it is. Because what you'll see is you will see where in the process you judge it. Like, if the urge would just go away, I would feel better, rather than I could feel better even while having an urge. You will see, like, the conversation. You will notice the feelings in the body where you can be like, okay, and that's the worst of it, is how I'm going to feel in my body. You just get an opportunity to talk to yourself about it. And then the last step is to start consciously planning all of those overeats. So they go on the plan as you do them. No eating less. No any of the things. And you just decide, all right, every night, if I've been eating a sleeve of Oreos, like, somebody yesterday ate a sleeve of, I think, Arrowroot cookies or something. You should put them on the plan. They have to be there, like, the whole sleeve. You have to go get them with your plan. You have to go sit. You can either sit where you normally sit, or you sit at the table or whatever, and you eat them, knowing that you're doing an overeat, because that's how you've been doing it. This takes you from doing it unconsciously, where you're just eating, and then you suffer the aftermath of judgment and not wanting to do it and knowing it doesn't get to your goals. It takes it from being what happens after, and it moves it all the way to the beginning and during. That's when we want our conscious brain lit up. That's when we want our brain yelling at us, this isn't helpful. I don't think you need this. That's how you turn on the conscious brain. So that's kind of like three different ways to attack it. I'm a newbie, and I don't understand why there is a snack space on our 24-hour plan. Because a lot of people snack. I eat my 2 to 3 meals a day, and I'm not hungry other than that. So do I eat snacks when I'm not hungry? No, you don't eat snacks if you're not a snacker. We have some people, though, that eat snacks every day. Like, you know, my friend Jane, she eats three meals a day and she eats two snacks every single day. So she plans her snacks. So she uses the snack thing. We just had to put snacks in there because not everybody's not a snacker. I'm a coffee creamer girl. Hazelnut. Does your coffee have a flavor? I know cutting my creamer would help me, but it's so good. I just use heavy whipping cream. Sleep Remedy helps me get to sleep, but I don't stay asleep. Any other suggestions to get better sleep? I love Sleep Remedy for help in the bathroom. I would do a thought download every night before you go to bed. Y'all who wake up in the middle of the night and can't go back to sleep, it's often because your brain kind of turns on. If you would do a thought download before you go to bed about things that you might wake up and think about in the middle of the night, try that and see what happens. Very often, that's super helpful. I work in healthcare and most days my lunch starts at noon. What do I do if my hunger scale isn't at a -2 and I don't have the ability to wait to take my lunch? Do you recommend not eating at that time, maybe just eating a quick snack when it does hit -2? You could do it either way, Melissa. So you could eat just a light lunch on those days that take you to a +2 and you may not be starting at a -2. Or what you can do is you can just have a snack and like be hungrier for your next meal if you want to. That's fine too. The other day, I'd planned toast for breakfast and a sandwich for lunch. Right before lunch, I thought, wow, that's 4 pieces of bread. You know what I think? I'm like, wow, I love that she's planning things that she likes. Would it be okay to switch my lunch to a salad, or would it be better to stick to my 24-hour plan? I think you're way overthinking it, Marla. If you don't want to be the kind of person who eats 4 pieces of bread, my thing is why are you worried about 4 pieces of bread? Are you overweight because you've had toast and sandwiches all your life for breakfast and lunch? So often, guys, we sit around and we think about the most asinine of things. It's like most of us are overweight because we cruise through McDonald's, or we're going out to eat, or we're chugging wine, or we're eating cookies at night without thinking about it at all. We really don't have to overthink 4 pieces of bread. I would just be like, you know what? Tomorrow I'm planning a salad. Just going to see how that feels. You get to do whatever you want. But guys, I'm just going to tell you, short of having like, I don't know, celiac disease or something, you guys have to quit worrying about bread. Y'all are not overweight because you're having a sandwich and a piece of toast to your +2. I want you to think about, like, if you're worried about the food you're eating, and like, especially if you're sitting around ginned up with all kinds of anxiety about, well, Corinne doesn't tell us what to put on our protocol, and I just don't know about this protocol, and blah, blah, blah. I want you to think about, and I want you to ask yourself realistically, what are the real reasons why I'm overweight right now? It's because of these habits. It's because of these choices and these things. Please do not put on there because you eat a baked potato. And I want you to do it and then write whatever comes to your brain first. Some of you, it will be bread. Then I want you to realistically go through there and I want you to highlight the absolute offenders. Like, fuck yeah. Like, you know, I should probably have a sandwich at lunch rather than feeling deprived every night at 8 o'clock and then just eating whatever's in the kitchen. The emphasis should be on the kitchen, not on cutting out a sandwich at lunch. But most of us, what we want to do is we want to try to control shit like that so that we don't have to address why we're overeating at night. Because if you take away the food at night and you take away the food at 4 o'clock and you take away spontaneous lunches where you're just going to eat whatever you want and fuck it moments, when you take all that away, you are left with a lot of thinking. You're left with a lot of emotions. You know, there's so many of you who are eating at 8 o'clock at night because all you do, if you don't eat, is you sit there and dread your next day. You look back on the day you had, like, it was a tough one. Thank God I got through it. And then you're dreading the next one. And then you wonder why you want to eat. Because you're creating stories around your life that stink. That's why, like, really starting to understand how you think about your life and how you think about your tomorrows and what is your responsibility versus someone else's responsibility and stuff. That's why it's everything to overeating. We don't eat because, like, guys, I'm just going to tell you, the vast majority of you, when you choose to overeat, there's an emotional component to it. Want is an emotional component. Not being willing to tell yourself no. Feeling denied. Well, it makes me happy. It's like, and telling yourself no can't make you happy, even if that means getting your goals. Just wanted to share that joining the tribe has allowed me to find my people. Losing weight the mental way is my biggest cross to bear. No more body shaming and self-loathing. That's awesome, Lauren. Should we be doing a journal separate from the planner for free journaling? In the back, there is some free journaling. So if you go to the back side of your planner, there's the TDL and model pages. That's where we do a lot of the free journaling. You can do as much journaling as you want, guys, though. If you want to get a separate journal and write about things, more power to you. Trust me, I'm never going to ding anybody for writing too much. So our protocol changes and can change monthly. Yeah, it can change. I change my protocol as my goals change. Some of you will change your protocol as your weight loss changes or as you're like, you'll notice yourself leveling up a lot, especially if you start with just I eat anything and eat 2 to 2. Eventually what happens is you will start like eating healthier and healthier and you'll want to create a better protocol for yourself. You'll be like, I'm excited to do it. I don't need these foods anymore. I actually want to narrow it down a little bit. It makes life easier for me. And I get to see all the foods I enjoy. So I wouldn't do it more than every 2 weeks. I would experiment with a protocol for 2 weeks. But it's really just like a lot of people, they notice their protocol changes as their mindset around losing weight changes. They start seeing themselves eating better, feeling better and stuff. They want to change their protocol. They're like, and I love it when people are changing protocols because they've realized they're just making so many good choices for themselves. They're ready to do it. That's what I love most. That's when you know momentum's catching you. For 7+ hours of sleep, trying to get it all in one night. But if I get less than 7, is it okay to supplement with a nap later in the day? I think so. Because I really like to take naps. I feel silly asking this. I've been following and reading everything, but what is a TDL? A TDL is a thought download. That's going to be in module 4. That's why you don't know what it is yet, but that's just our abbreviation for thought downloads. So you'll learn more about that in module 4, but basically a thought download is just where you just journal. It's just journaling. We just call it TDLs just for easiness. All right, guys, I'm going to go and take some kind of like ibuprofen or something to get, as you can tell, I'm holding one boob. This one is definitely irritated today. Y'all have a good one. And again, we will see you in Weekend Motivator tomorrow. Just keep studying. This week is all about that module 2, your protocol worksheets. I think there's protocol and you write a protocol. There's a protocol worksheet that asks you some good questions and there's the good, better, best worksheets. Those are in your No BS workbook, guys. So if you're looking for those, that's where it's at. Feel free to do them. I think they're super helpful. I don't give you worksheets that I don't think are amazing. I'm doing them all myself, all of my elders. I think you guys, it would be really good for you to do them. It never hurts to go back and review things. And then I believe if you go to Monday's call, I talked a lot about this module. So if you're like, I don't know that I understand all the things in module 2, go to Monday night's call where I did a big executive overview and a little bit more teaching and a lot of question and answers on this particular module. So that's in the Private Mirror podcast and the video replays. Other than that, you guys have a wonderful one and I will see you soon. Bye, y'all.